This is Movies for the Blind, Episode 79, Sheriff of Tombstone, Part 1.
I always was a little too quick on the trigger for a lawyer. Lost me a lot of clients that way.
Hello and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. As promised, we head back to the American West, and a guy who last turned up a couple episodes ago as the secretary for the board of directors for a steel mill. That's George Hayes. But this time, he's in the guise we remember him for. Gabby Hayes, grizzled old codger, inventor of consarned new Western tap words, and sidekick to any number of movie cowboys. Among those cowboys, William Boyd is Hopalong Cassidy, Gene Autry, Randolph Scott, and as we've heard in a past movie for the blind, John Wayne. But this time, Gabby is back here with the cowboy he rode with in 41 movies, Roy Rogers. About a year ago, we had Roy and Gabby as stagecoach drivers in Nevada City. This is the movie they made right before that. From 1941, this is Sheriff of Tombstone. Roy Rogers and George Gabby Hayes in Sheriff of Tombstone, a Republic production. With Elise Knox, Addison Richards, Sally Payne, Harry Woods, Zeffie Tilbury, Hal Taliaferro, Jay Novello, Jack Ingram. Directed by Joseph Kane. At the Dodge City Telegraph Office, a man walks out with a telegram as another man watches atop his horse.
It must be important, Cassidy. Now, if you can only read.
He dismounts.
You keep your prying nose out of my business.
That's what I'm doing. Going in to retire officially now.
Yeah? Well, I'm retiring myself, leastwise I'm leaving town.
Me too. Dodge City's going to be kind of lonesome without us.
I'd be glad to take a part in a shot at you to liven things up.
When I go in for shooting just to take the quiet out of the air, Cassidy, I'll look you up. Hey, tie my horse.
The sheriff tosses him the reins and walks off. Annoyed, Cassidy does as he's told.
When you get a town so docile that Shotgun Cassidy takes to tying up horses instead of stealing them.
It's time to turn in my badge, huh?
He takes it off.
Well, here it is, Marshal.
Well, I hate for you to do this, Brett. You know, Dodge City's just like a skittish horse. Liable to go off in all directions with a stranger in the saddle.
Nah, the old town's learned to respect the law. They can feel the law here. They don't have to see it walk down the street behind the gun anymore.
So you're going out to Tombstone, eh?
Yep, Bill and I are joining our brother Arthur. He's in business there.
He unties the horse again.
From now on, the stars are hanging up their guns.
Well, every man knows you never used one, Brett, unless you had to. Good luck to you, lad.
Thanks.
With a handshake, Brett climbs back on his horse and rides off. Later, Brett rides through open country with Bill on the other side of a covered wagon carrying Bill's wife and two kids.
Riding on a rocky road, don't complain if the going's tough. Riding on a rocky road, don't give a hoot for anything. Take an old banjo and start to sing.
The little boy plays a banjo and the girl plays a squeeze box.
Riding on a rocky road, don't complain if the ride is long. Riding on a rocky road, don't complain if the wind is strong. Riding on a rocky road, don't give a hoot for anything. Take an old banjo and start to sing. Riding on a rocky road, you lose.
In the distance, a lone rider comes speeding toward them.
And I'll be riding on a rocky road.
The rider, an older bearded man, catches up from behind.
Well, Gabby Whitaker, what's the matter? Did you break the Faro Bank?
Or rob the City Bank?
Bill Starr, I'm law-abiding. As to that Faro Bank, though it wasn't broke, it was the recipient of a monstrous dent. And when the stage drove up and my daughter Queenie steps off, one look back of her and I takes off.
What did you see?
The woman I so proudly led to the altar. The one wild over my callow youth, Diamond Sal.
Won't Sal follow you?
Yeah, she didn't see me. I rode the corner so darn fast my vest pockets dipped sand. You know, you fellas have witnessed the tail end of my most recent peregrination, during which I broke my record out of Texas by...
He checks the watch.
1 minute and 44 seconds.
Judge, looks to me like you could have thought of a better way to free yourself, you being the best legal mind west of the Mississippi.
Son, I can't plead a case of incompatibility on the dead run. Proceed ahead.
We're going to Tombstone.
Tombstone, Timbuktu, or the Sahara Desert. From now on in, you got company. Get up.
Later, as they rest at an outpost, the little girl watches Gabby play solitaire.
Ace of spades up in the ace of clubs.
While Bill brushes his horse, Brett washes the little boy, who sits in a tub. He scrubs his chest and neck.
Why do I have to have my neck washed? Why do I?
Well, Benji, for the same reason Annie has hers washed, so that it'll be clean.
But Annie's neck sticks out of her dress, and I got a collar, ain't I?
Soon after,
supper's ready.
They gather around a picnic table.
Boy, this sure smells good.
Why am I hungry?
Beef stew, my favorite dish.
Cassidy rides up.
In case you're heading for Tombstone to star, the boot's on the other foot. I'm on my way to being the law there. Me and this.
He holds up a shotgun.
If they want you in Tombstone, Cassidy, they must be figuring on cutting down the population.
Put up my horse. Come back, Fano, and give me some grub.
When he dismounts, a caretaker accepts the reins.
Here you cleaned up in a faro game, Judge. Well, I'm staying a night, and if you're interested in little stud poker...
Shotgun, I ain't played poker with no coyote yet.
Cassidy walks away. Later, he and Gabby play poker in the house.
You got about 100 there. Toss it in so I can catch up with the stars. I'm a good hour behind them.
You're dealing them.
Gabby starts to deal the cards.
You got 2 black aces showing.
Yes, sir. 1 spare.
Here, money, Judge. I'm moving out.
Took me all night to beat you, but... You sure are off like a gentleman.
See you in Tombstone.
As Cassidy walks out, Gabby gathers up his money and puts it in his pack. The caretaker arrives with a tray.
No. I ain't got time for breakfast. I gotta saddle up.
He stands.
I reckon practicing law just naturally makes a man suspicious of his fellow men.
Stepping out, he soon goes to his horse in a stable. Across the stable... Behind a big pile of hay, a door opens. And Cassidy enters with his shotgun. From hiding, he watches Gabby untie his horse. Gabby senses something and looks back. Walking around behind his horse, he bends down to pick up the saddle. Cassidy raises his gun and aims at him. But Gabby turns and shoots his hand, making him fall.
Yeah. Practicing law makes a man mighty suspicious.
He steps around the back of the hay pile and looks down.
Yeah, there near missed him.
The caretaker enters.
Well, chatterbox, looks to me like you got a silent partner.
He walks off. Later, in Tombstone, Brett and Gabby turn a corner to ride down the main street. Slow down when they spot 3 cowboys leaving a dress shop, firing in the air and brandishing ladies' clothes. Brett and Gabby ride over as other people gather to watch the cowboys wave the dresses at the proprietor and each other. Brett dismounts.
Hey, hasn't the lady got any rights in this town?
Uh-huh.
A bystander turns to him.
Well, I tell you, stranger, it's every man and woman for himself here. We ain't had a sheriff in a month. Hey, Gus, what are you going to do with that kimono?
Unless I miss my guess, those dresses would look pretty good on you, boy.
Brett raises a shotgun.
Put them on.
The cowboys notice he's aiming at them.
I said put them on.
Get your gun.
Gabby gets the bystander to take the guns from the cowboys. As the proprietor looks at Brett. At gunpoint, the cowboys awkwardly put on bonnets. While people watch, laughing... The cowboys struggle with the frilly dresses and robes. And the proprietor smiles.
The boys would like to pay up for the dresses. Isn't that right, ladies?
One of them glares at Brett.
Get whatever they got, Gabby. We won't haggle over price.
With his pistol trained on him, Gabby forces the cowboys in ladies' clothing to hand over the money. Accepting it, Brett escorts the proprietor back into her shop.
You know, I seen a real geeky gal once. She was littler than you, but no cuter, Gertie.
Inside, Brett pays her.
Thanks, mister, a lot.
This is a nice shop you have here.
Haven't had it long. You're responsible for the first big day's business.
I have some folks settling out of town, and I'd like to buy a sort of a little girl's dress.
Certainly.
As she finds one on a rack, Brett gazes at her.
Pretty?
About the prettiest I ever saw.
What's her name?
That's what I'm wondering. Oh, her name's Annie. Gee, that's nice.
In an office.
So, he marches them back to the ladies' shop with them cowpoke shy as kittens. Why, the Clay brothers and Jed Crawley ain't a marker to this sawed-off shotgun-toting hombre.
Sawed-off?
Shotgun.
Cassidy.
Shotgun Cassidy.
Come on.
They run out. Well, at the shop.
Call again.
I sure will, ma'am.
Oh, yes, sir. Looks like Annie and Lizzie are going to be the most fashionable ladies hereabouts.
Now, Gabby, you know their clothes took an awful beating all the way here from Kansas.
Welcome to our fair city.
Thanks.
My felicitations, sir.
We've heard all about you and that.
They look at his gun.
Well, this is only...
Only half a gun, but it's made you famous, Shotgun Cassidy.
In accordance with the terms of my telegram, I hereby appoint you sheriff.
Wait a minute. Not so fast.
No, that's the way I do everything. Speedy Luke Keeler, that's me, the mayor of Tombstone.
Looks like we're in fast company.
Well, maybe we better try to keep up with him for a while, Judge.
How are you?
Keeler shakes Gabby's hand.
Who are you?
Judge Whittaker, attorney at law.
Oh, brought your own lawyer, huh? Pretty smart.
Well, I figured he might come in handy.
Undoubtedly.
Indubitably.
Well, put up your horse and come over to the office.
He steps away.
At least he can recognize a horse.
Yes, and I can recognize a skunk when I see one, especially an ornery.
Why, that's defamation of character. The mayor took you right off, Sheriff.
That's what worries me. Keeler's not appointing Shotgun for sheriff without a reason.
Poor Shotgun. He might have got somewhere in Tombstone.
I think I'll find out just where. Hunt up my brother Arthur and tell him not to recognize me. The same goes for Bill.
The proprietor closes the shop.
You're closing up early, aren't you, miss?
She stalks off without a glance.
Looks like your shopping is all done for the season.
I'll stay put at the hotel.
I'll write out the bills, and then I'll hunt up Arthur.
They get their horses and lead them away as a stagecoach arrives in front of a saloon. A man opens the door for a female passenger.
Howdy, ma'am. If I can be of any service to you, just yip out.
Thanks. I'm looking for
the best hotel is that way.
Is this the best saloon in town?
It sure is, Mom.
Then I'll go this way.
She accepts her baggage from the driver.
Saloon ain't no place for a pretty little palomino like you.
Take it easy, Apollo. I grew up working in these joints. Queenie Latour's my name. Quick turns, songs, and dances.
Oh, an actress.
What do you take me for? A bartender? I'm here looking for three things, the boss, a job, and a father.
Well, Slade's the boss. Job's yours, I'll bet. If it's a father you need...
You'll be one to me. Thanks, I'll settle for the job.
She leaves him. Later in Brett's hotel room...
What kept you so long, Gabby?
Brett cleans his shotgun as Gabby closes the door.
Isn't that gun in working order?
Had to do something to kill time. Should have brought my knitting along.
You ought to stick to it, Brett.
You mean impersonating Cassidy?
No, you're knitting. It ain't healthy around here.
What'd Bill say?
Oh, he just scratched his head, grinned, and said, here we go again.
What'd Arthur think of it?
He ain't thinking.
He ought to know everything that's going on around town here.
Sadly, Gabby drops a small box on the bed.
Your brother's dead.
Brett looks at Gabby, then turns away, stunned. He stands with the gun and picks up his hat.
How did it happen?
Was riding guard on a stage. It was held up 2 weeks ago. Everybody seemed afraid to talk about it. But he didn't go out empty-handed. He took two of those varmints with him.
Brett turns to go.
Where are you going?
I've got an appointment with Keeler at the Bonanza. I'm keeping it. I don't want you with me, Gabby.
He leaves.
Well, I guess you're right. I always was a little too quick on the trigger for a lawyer. Lost me a lot of clients that way. Well,
he shuts the door.
Guess I better do a little house cleaning before we start house cleaning.
He cleans his pistol.
Two Gun Thief.
Later,
Two Gun Thief.
Queenie performs at the Bonanza Saloon.
Two Gun Thief was a Western man, wore a smile and a coat of tan. When he played cards, would you believe that he kept an ace right up his sleeve?
Oh, yeah. Should have seen Thief
when he dealt from the bottom.
She shuffles a deck of cards, then walks among the crowd.
You should have seen Thief
take the boys and spot 'em.
A well-dressed man watches with two others from the bar.
Got 'em.
And you should have seen Thief
when the posse up and shot 'em.
She takes someone's gun and fires it in the air.
Two Gun Pete was a man of might. Slept all day and he played all night. And to this day he'd be alive if he held four aces instead of five.
Oh, yeah, should have seen Thief when he dealt from the bottom.
Bottom.
She winks at the well-dressed man.
Take the boys and spot 'em.
Bottom.
He should have seen Pete when the sheriff got 'em.
And he got 'em.
And he should have seen Pete when the posse up and shot 'em.
She fires another gun in the air.
Two Gun Pete couldn't ride or rope. Never heard of a bath with soap. If he went broke, he'd never groan. When his cash ran low, he'd print his own.
Oh, yeah, should have seen Thief
when he dealt from the bottom.
Bottom? He should have seen Thief
take the boys and spot 'em.
Spot 'em. He should have seen Thief
when the sheriff got 'em.
He got 'em. And he should have seen Thief when the posse up and shot 'em.
They up and shot 'em.
The crowd applauds as Queenie takes her bows. Carrying a shotgun, Brett arrives and walks across the saloon toward the bar, where he meets the well-dressed man.
Good evening, Shotgun. We've been waiting for you.
He leads Brett to the office, with the door marked for A.J. Slade. They enter, finding Keeler sitting at a desk.
Well, Joe, here he is, the pride of Dodge City, Mr. Shotgun Cassidy.
You are a young fella to kill so many people.
We start showing off early in Kansas.
Martinez, Joe Martinez, very good friend of ours. We don't see him as much as we'd like to.
Well, I have much work to do. You know, this cantina is a very fine place. Someday, when I retire from my silver mine, what I only hate, I'm going to come here and spend all my pesos.
He points at the well-dressed man.
And then my friend, Senor Slade, he going to retire too.
Mr. Keeler, I'm new at this sheriff business, but I take it you have some special work for me to do.
As soon as the Carson Mining property goes under the hammer and Slade here binds it in, you'll have plenty of action.
Yeah? Well, what do I do?
You oust the Carson tribe.
Yes, and it's a man-sized job.
Well, now I'm getting interested. The Carsons are plenty tough, huh?
Well, they're a pack of throat-cutting, law-resistant, sheriff-killing. Well, why else did I send for you?
I think I'm going to like this job, boys.
Maybe we're going to like you, too. I think.
Now, the leader of this outfit, old Granny Carson.
At the bar, Queenie stands with the man who met her when she arrived. As she sips a drink, she spots Brett walking by and spits her drink. The man slaps her back.
Did I see Brett Starr?
What, on sarsaparilla? Oh, now, sister, that was only Shotgun Cassidy.
What are you drinking?
Liquor. Keeps me on the QV. That's French for on your toes.
Don't get him stepped on, mister. Just don't get him stepped on.
He recovers from her slapping his back. Later in the hotel room, Brett washes his face.
Ed Carson, mine. Why, he's a fella that made the big strike. He ought to be rich enough to pay his taxes.
He's dead.
Then he's got him. He don't have to pay no taxes.
Slade says they owe over $100,000.
Gappy plays solitaire.
You jack. Keeler says the surviving Carsons are a pack of cutthroats.
No. Yeah. What are you getting all prettied up for?
I'm going calling on the Carsons.
Ain't that a little my danger?
From Keeler's description, it'll be downright perilous.
Give me the shivers, think of it.
The leader's a killer of the worst kind. Stands 5 feet high, over 70, and white hair, and wears a little bonnet on top of it.
I'm going along just for the shivers.
Soon after, a little boy sits up on some grass watching someone approach. He jumps to his feet and keeps watching Brett and Gabby ride over the rocky terrain below him. The boy runs off to a cabin.
Granny! Granny!
Who's a-coming?
Two men. Look kind of sheriffy to me.
She turns to the open doorway.
Mary, bring me bonnet and a gun.
Blow a blast, Pip.
The boy blows a horn. While at a distance...
There's that dressmaker. No wonder you were slicking up.
The proprietor comes out.
Be careful, Granny. This new sheriff's a killer.
I ain't backing down for Beelzebub himself.
Two men join them.
We ain't budging, boys.
Your bonnet's crooked.
Granny fixes it.
Me shooting straight.
She trains her shotgun on Brett and Gabby, who come closer.
Nice looking, ain't he?
Mary straightens herself, indignant, as Brett and Gabby ride up.
Well, good morning. Well, I didn't expect to see you here, Miss...
Carson, I live here.
It's never a good morning for sheriffs on the Carson claim. Now get, and get fast.
Well, I'm not only sheriff, ma'am, but I aim to be a peace officer.
Then why are you hiding behind that shotgun? And why is that old goat hiding behind them moth-eaten whiskers?
Madam, I'll have you understand that this hirsute is free of habitation.
Why don't you buy yourself a snood?
Shocked, he turns to Brett.
This old wildcat's as bad as Sal.
She aims.
Now, keep your shirt on. Don't get yourself in a tizzle.
Granny, let's hear what they have to say.
My friend here's a lawyer. If you'll explain to him why you haven't paid your taxes, why you...
This mine's rich enough to pay all the taxes in the territory, but I can't make no money.
Every time Granny sends out a shipment of bullion, the stage gets robbed.
Why do you suppose I got all my family here? 'Cause I can't pay wages.
We've sunk the shaft so deep, they're just men in and out. We need machinery, and we can't get the bullion through to pay for it.
Ma'am, you're in a predicament.
I'm in a hole, mister, shoved in by Keeler and Slade. But as long as I can hold on, I got 'em. The Carson vein runs smack through every mining claim they own, and they can't mine a silver dime that doesn't belong to me.
Oh, the head of the silver vein originates here.
You're darn tootin' it does. Mr. Sheriff, you aim to put me off. When you do, come a shootin'.
I hope I won't have to, little Mrs. Fancy Bonnet.
Granny breaks into a smile, then catches herself.
Well, I guess we'll be going back.
I can't figure you out. You're not like what I've heard.
This is one of his good days. Come on, shotgun.
Brett and Gabby ride away.
Mary, he called me Fancy Bonnet. He must have liked me feather.
She touches it on her bonnet. Riding off.
Well, Judge, what is the mining law in Granny's situation?
She owns a mother load on the entire vein. They're stymied till they can get her claim.
Can't even mine their own claims, huh?
Not unless you want to tangle with Uncle Sam.
Gabby, this is bigger than just Granny Carson. Tombstone's got to learn respect for the law.
Ah, there you go. Talking through a darn sheriff's badge again.
Later, a sign in an office states, all bullion shipped by Wells Fargo at owner's risk. A bespectacled man working at a desk looks up.
Howdy.
When Brett walks in, the man smiles as he gets up to meet him.
Glad to meet you, Sheriff. I'm John Anderson.
You in charge of Wells Fargo, Mr. Anderson?
In my humble way.
I understand you've been having a lot of holdup trouble.
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. Terrible. It's very discouraging to a man.
And it don't help a lady now, especially if she's kind of little and mighty old.
No, no, indeed. You've been talking to Granny Carson, haven't you?
Yes. I wonder if I could take a look at your shipment records. I'd like to check on Granny's story.
Oh, I wouldn't pay too much attention to her. She's rather childish and given to imagining things.
Your records would show whether she is or not. That's why I'd like to take a look at them.
Well, the fact is, sir, the records are confidential.
Are they closed to a peace officer?
Not meaning any offense, sir, but your reputation makes me doubt your peaceful qualities, if you see what I mean.
Mm-hmm. I sort of admire you for that, Mr. Anderson. You don't take your job lightly.
Wells Fargo is serious business, sir.
We ought to get along fine. I take my job seriously, too.
Unsmiling, Brett leaves. And Anderson watches him go, unsettled. Later, the mustachioed Mexican Martinez walks through the saloon, grinning. He meets Slade at the bar.
Hello, Joe. What are you doing in town?
I get cider for myself, so I come to see my friend.
The bartender serves him a shot.
Mayor Keeler's in my office. Come on in.
Knocking back the shot. Martinez follows Slade to the office. They step inside.
What are you doing here?
Me, I get sad for myself.
You already said that.
You're getting so you put the dialect on with the clothes.
Martinez signals to Slade to shut the door.
You two ought to appreciate my versatility. Your friend Shotgun came snooping around the Wells Fargo office. He wanted me to let him see the records.
What for?
He's been out to Carson's, and he seems mighty taken up with old Granny.
What's going on? Is he throwing in with them?
Maybe Granny outbid you. Might have offered him a piece of her claim. She's a cagey old girl.
Well, I played smart with him. He's got nothing on us.
He knows we want the claim, and we'll get it at the tax auction.
And he's doing some wondering.
I got him here at a fat salary to shoot things out, not wonder them out. Look, if he's figuring on crossing us, we won't wait. We'll have to get rid of him fast.
Me and the boys could meet the stage tomorrow morning as it starts with the Mesquite Bottoms. You could have Mr. Cassidy riding guard.
One well-aimed rifle bullet from cover would do it.
Who'll take care of the Carsons?
Well, I don't know yet, but it's a cinch. They'll be easier to handle without Cassidy to help them.
It will be as you say, senor.
Martinez steps to the door.
After I get through with him, nobody he got to wonder some more.
With a nod, he steps out. Later, Gabby bumps into Queenie, who drops some boxes.
I misjudged it.
They look at each other.
Queenie!
He runs away, but she knocks him down with a well-thrown box. She and Brett help him back up as other people gather around.
Say, that bundle of new flat iron cost $1.80. Why, Brett!
Gabby stomps on her foot.
Hi, Sheriff.
Oh, hiya, Gabby.
I want you to meet Queenie the Tour. This is Shotgun Cassidy. Oh,
Mr. Cassidy, this is real unexpected.
It's a surprise to me, too. Is your mother with you?
Where's that flat iron?
No, Ma's in Dodge City, but I'm expecting her to join me.
I think I'll go along with you.
No, Gabby, Miss Queenie's probably got something she wants to talk to you about. I'll meet you at the hotel.
Come on.
She pulls Gabby away.
What's this Cassidy stuff? What's Brett up to?
Oh, what's he always up to? He's separating the chaff from the wheat.
As they pick up the other boxes, Gabby leans closer.
Keeler and Slade are crooks, so don't you let on you know either Brett or me. And you can tell your darling Ma that wild horses won't drag me back.
Why, you single-footed, double-gated, rotating...
Remember, I'm your papa.
He leaves.
Can't even get acquainted with you. How am I going to remember you?
She almost throws the box at him again. Later, she and Brett walk through rain and head into Mary's dress shop.
Whew. Nothing like a rainy night to make me want to buy a hat. I'd like to try on a bonnet.
Mary offers a plain one.
Oh, heavenly day, I wouldn't wear that.
Miss Latour means one something like that with an ostrich plume.
You've been reading Goldie's lady book?
Mr. Cassidy's been in before. He has very good taste. He sure has. Even better than I thought. You're the new entertainer at the Bonanza.
Yep, ever since Brett Starr cleaned up Dodge City, boys all start going to bed at 9 o'clock.
Oh, Queenie, I think that would look mighty...
Keeler walks in.
Say, I'm sorry to interrupt, but...
What's all right, Mr. Keeler? Anything wrong?
Yeah, those stage guards are the bane of my life.
I heard you had some trouble with one named Star.
They're all alike. They get half liquored up, but this one is just plain drunk. You'll have to ride guard on tomorrow's stage.
All right.
Sure have my hands full trying to run this town.
Keeler walks out.
There's a bullion shipment aboard. The guard might not come back.
Oh, don't worry, honey. Brett will come back.
Brett?
Oh, I'm always getting mixed on names.
So, Keeler and Slade think they're setting up Brett for an ambush. Of course, we know better, right? But what can Brett do to defeat them and help the Carsons make the money they deserve? And can he do it before Cassidy shows up? Remember Shotgun Cassidy? You know he's going to show up, right? Yeah. Find out in the conclusion of Sheriff of Tombstone next time on Movies for the Blind. Now, although Gabby Hayes was one of the biggest Western stars ever, he later admitted in interviews to not being that big a fan of Westerns. Growing up in New York, he didn't learn to ride a horse until his 40s, and in real life was more like his role in Beggars and Ermine a couple of episodes ago, a well-groomed, cultivated city slicker. For more information and links about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, check the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast's Creative Commons license. The MP3s are currently being hosted by Blind File Sharing, with easy, affordable, and accessible file storage and transfer with visually impaired users in mind. To find out more, visit blindfilesharing.com. The movies are from the Internet Archive, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at www.archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.